We're going to start with a couple stories about mothers today. We're going to stay in our Serve All series, but we're going to be talking about a particular mother this morning. James Dobson tells the story of a mother who was sick in bed, who had the flu. Her little daughter wanted so much to be a good nurse. She brought mom an extra pillow, brought her a magazine, and even showed up with a surprise cup of tea. Her mother took a sip of the tea and said, "Wow, I didn't even know that you knew how to make tea." And the girl said, "Oh yes, I learned by watching you. I put some water in the pot, then I put the tea leaves in, and I boiled the water, and then I strained it into a cup. But I couldn't find the strainer, so I used the fly swatter instead." The mother said, "What?" And the girl said, "Don't worry, Mom, I didn't use the new fly swatter, I used the old one." One summer evening during a violent thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small boy into bed. She was about to turn off the lights when he asked with a tremor in his voice, "Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight?" The mother smiled and gave him a reassuring hug. "I'm sorry," she said. "I have to sleep in Daddy's room." A long silence was broken at last by his shaky little voice, "The big sissy." And now a serious story. It comes from World War II during the Holocaust. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons and his father and his mother were arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp and the rules were simple. As long as you can do your work, you're permitted to live. When you become too weak to do your work, then you are exterminated. Rosenberg watched his mother and father march off to their deaths, and he knew that next would be his youngest son, David, because David had always been a frail child. Every evening, Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of labor and searched for the faces of his family. When he found them, they would huddle together, embrace one another, and thank God. One day, Rosenberg came back and didn't see those familiar faces. He finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner huddled, weeping and praying. He said, "Josh, tell me it's not true." "It is true, Papa. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him." "But where is your mother?" asked Mr. Rosenberg. "Oh, Papa, when they came for David, he was afraid and he cried. Mama said, 'There's nothing to be afraid of, David,' and she took his hand and went with him. 'There's nothing to be afraid of. I'll go with you.'" Mothers will do anything for their children, won't they? In today's passage, we're going to read about a different woman. King Lemuel's mother. How many of you have ever heard of her? Anyone? All right. It's found in Proverbs chapter 31. And a lot of you have probably heard about the Proverbs 31 woman, and it's very well known, and there's Proverbs 31 ministry and things like that. But in the first 9 verses, it's a little different. King Lemuel's mother is giving King Lemuel a message. And this is what she says. "The sayings of King Lemuel contain this message which his mother taught him. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not waste your strength on women, on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, to guzzle wine. Rulers should not crave alcohol. For if they drink, they may forget the law and not give justice to the oppressed. Alcohol is for the dying and wine for those in bitter distress. Let them drink to forget their poverty and remember their troubles no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and the helpless and see that they get justice." So in this small passage, in these first 9 verses of Proverbs 31, King Lemuel's mother gives a pretty concise statement about what is good government. She says, first, do not use your authority as a means to debauchery. Second, keep your head clear from the stupefying effects of alcohol. And third, use your power to help the powerless. Now, we don't know who King Lemuel is. He possibly was an Arab king, but he's not found anywhere else in Scripture, and we don't know anything else about him from history. He's probably an Arab king, and his mother was the queen mother. The queen mother had a special place in society and was highly regarded, often taking precedent over the king's wife. She starts in verse 2 saying, oh, probably meaning, "What should I tell you?" And then she addresses him with terms of intimacy that only a mother could use. She says, my son. She says, son of my womb. She says, son of my vows. And the phrases build on one another, expressing her right and her motives in telling him what she has to tell him. The womb calls to mind the blood ties and the months of prenatal nurture. And the vows can be translated, son of my promises, which suggests that she desperately wanted to conceive a child. And perhaps she made a promise to God and a bargain with God about, give me a child and I will do this, similar to what Hannah did when she had Samuel, saying to God that if she would be blessed with a child, she would turn Samuel over to work in the temple. Perhaps she did one of these things. One translation of the last two phrases says, my son, you were born in answer to my prayers, so listen carefully. King Lemuel was a special person. He had been prayed for prior to his birth. He had been anticipated. He had been wanted. He had been desired. And now his mother is saying, I've been given this gift of you, King Lemuel, and now you have to live up to the expectations that I have for you. Verse 3 talks about the trouble with women. We're not going to get into trouble with women today on Mother's Day. But someone's, yeah, good job, Kevin. Okay? But the key here is that we're talking about women, plural. And so in this day and age, it was very common for kings to have multiple wives and mistresses and concubines and things like that. And the mother warns against it. Do not get involved with multiple women. We all know King Solomon, supposedly the wisest man who ever lived, but he had 300 concubines and 700 wives. So that could be debated on his wisdom there. It says to give away strength is foolish. And one translation actually says, don't waste your life chasing after women. Another translation puts it very bluntly, don't spend all your energy on sex. If you do this, King Lemuel, it's going to result in terrible destruction for you and your kingdom. You're going to lose your wealth in the long run, and this sexual desire that you have is going to destroy you. Literally, she says that the women will be, quote, to the destroying of kings. She says keeping this harem of women, these concubines and wives, is really a distortion of the purpose of the royal power. And later, as we read, the purpose of the royal power is to provide justice for his people, not to provide his self-indulgences. She warns that the wrong kind of woman will ruin him before she gives this description of the magnificent woman found in verses 10 and following. I would encourage you to read that on your own. She warns against the type of woman who will destroy and weaken the kingdom. Elsewhere in Proverbs, she is called the strange woman. And the strange woman will drain your strength, seduce you, encourage you to be unfaithful to your marriage vows. If you marry this strange woman, she will be unfaithful. She's the opposite of a virtuous wife. She will not strengthen your health. She will demolish your house. Proverbs 14:1 says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. This strange woman will neglect your family, bankrupt you financially, ruin your reputation, distract you from your calling. You'll be so busy trying to please her, which you never will be able to please her, that you'll have no time for your vocation, no time for your calling, no time for doing what God has called you to do. Proverbs 27:15-16 says, a constant dripping on a day of steady rain and a contentious woman are alike. He who would restrain her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand. Of course, in Scripture, we have many examples of wives leading their husbands astray. Obviously, the wives of Solomon ended up destroying the kingdom. We have Jezebel, we have Delilah, other examples of women leading their husbands astray. Verses 4 to 7 encourages the king to maintain sobriety in order to carry out the work that he must do for the kingdom. A diet of alcohol would be unthinkable for those who constantly need to be in possession of sound wit and solid judgment. The motivation sentence anchors her argument with the fact that He needs his sobriety in order to impart justice, which is his prime responsibility. She says there are people counting on you for their livelihoods. And so to be a drunkard going from one party to the next, indulging in whatever fancies you at the time, is not going to provide justice for your people. She's not telling him to never drink. She's talking about a habit of drunkenness. It can be translated in one version that says, kings should not make a habit of drinking wine. And the reason she says this is because you're in danger, if you're always inebriated, of forgetting your purpose, which is to provide justice for your people. And in 8 and 9, she goes on to say, that is the central thing for your rule, caring for the poor, speaking for those who cannot speak for themselves. Notice she doesn't say that the primary goal is military strength or kingdom building or wealth building. Rather, it is to be righteous and to seek justice. It is to plead for those who cannot plead for themselves, the orphan, the stranger, those who are otherwise ruined by their oppressors. Literally, it says all the sons of passing away. Some translate the expression, all the unwanted, all who are destitute, all who are helpless, and those who have no hope. That is what the king is supposed to be fighting for. That is what the person in power is supposed to be looking out for. The little guy. Not for himself, not looking for more women, not looking for more alcohol, but looking out for the justice that is needed by the unwanted, the destitute, the hopeless. He is to correct unjust situations and fight for righteousness, fighting for those who cannot fight for themselves. Don't worry about building monuments. Don't worry about building wealth. Don't worry about having the best military. Focus on the least of these. What wise words from a mother to her son. We may listen and we think, well, that's great. We're not kings. We're not queens. We can just pass on this, right? No, we don't get to pass on this. If we are in positions of power, which most of us are in some position of power in some aspect of our life, we need to make sure that we're following the advice of King Lemuel's mother. Focus on finding wise mates who share our sense of values, who share our sense of mission. We need to refrain from the habit of drunkenness, and we need to fight for the rights of those who cannot fight for themselves. The rest of the chapter talks about what a wise woman looks like. But where in your life do you see injustice? Where in your life do you see oppression? Where do you see someone being mistreated? Chances are we don't have to look very far to see that happening in our day-to-day lives. Oftentimes we just ignore it. Oh, that's just how it goes. But God's saying, open your eyes and see the injustice. And when you see the injustice, don't ignore it, don't pass by, but do something about it. Will you speak up for that coworker who's having issues? Will you speak up for that student that's being bullied? Will you speak up for those who are unable to defend themselves? Or are you just going to sit on the sideline and watch as the injustice continues to take place? We all have a choice to make when we see injustice. And through our service projects, we're hopefully helping in the small ways that we can to right some of these things and to remind people that they are loved and they are cared for by us because God loved us first. And so I encourage you to join us on our next service project when we go to the nursing home. If you want to see people that are often just put away and forgotten, go look at a nursing home. See some of the residents who never get visitors, who never are shown love. We get to be the hands and feet of Jesus next month and go and show love to some of those residents. And I hope that you will all join us when we do this. King Lemuel's mother has laid it on the line for her son and said, this is how you better act as king. and you can kind of see her in the background, or else. That's the implied thing there. Or else. She's given us that challenge as well. Will we stand up for the unjust? Will we stand up for those who have no voice? Will we speak up when we see injustice? That's our challenge today. That's what we have to think about. Will we stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves?
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.